That'll be all right, Pastor. Thank you so much. God bless you. It's good to be here tonight, and we do appreciate the kindness of our Lord in visiting with us again this evening. Appreciate the good singing, the good testimonies, and good presence of the Spirit of God here. That's what it's all about. And as most of you don't know, that song that Brother Jack sung on Thanks to and I Saw Calvary, he wrote that song. And that came right from the heart of one that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'll tell you, I appreciate it. Children, I've already been down that old road. I've got an open house on June the 7th. I'm inviting everybody on June the 7th. But first open house I had, I said, well, I'll get the McKinney's. Now, they'll come down. They'd help an old nobody like me. Surely they'd come down and help me just a little bit in my open house. And I called them, and they said, $3,500. You guarantee me $3,500, and we'll be there. Well, Lord, I'd have went to them for $50 if they had said it. But I called two or three more, and I said, how about you coming? I called a chuck wagon gang. I like them. I called them. And they said, hey, we're going to be in your area. So for $2,500, and let us sell all of our records, we'll be there. I hung up on them.
Tell it, brother.
And I'll tell you what, I want people singing at my place like Brother Jack. And I love him. He's my friend. Well, we've been together for a good while, and I appreciate Brother Jack. I really do. And I appreciate you. I appreciate your kindness and your love. My wife likes me to read this, and so we just read things once in a while. I like the old pal. I like my wife. She's an old-fashioned gal. She's old-fashioned. She still likes it old-fashioned. She don't like nothing modern.
Amen. Amen.
So I like the old paths when moms were at home and dads were at work and brothers was in the army and sisters got married before having children.
Amen.
I like it when crime did not pay.
Amen, brother.
Hard work did and the people knew the difference. Moms could cook, dads would work, and children would be quiet. Husbands were loving, wives were submissive, and children were polite. Women wore dresses, and the men wore the pants. Harlots wore paint, and children wore the stripes. Women looked like ladies, and men looked like gentlemen, and children looked decent. People loved the truth and hated a lie. They would follow the pastor and ignore the world.
Amen.
They came to get in, not to get out.
Amen.
Hymns sounded godly, sermons sounded helpful, amen sounded normal, and crying often sounded awful. Church folk were faithful, sinners were respectful, and everybody had manners.
Amen.
Cursing was wicked, drinking was evil, divorce was unbelievable. The flag was honored, America was beautiful, and God was welcome.
Amen.
We read the Bible in public, prayed in school, preached on the courthouse steps. Going to church was a blessing, going to school was an education, and going to a gas station that sold beer was a disgrace.
Amen. That's good, brother.
Grandma and Grandpa were wise, Mom and Dad were together, and children were precious. To be called an American was worth dying for. To be called a Christian was worth living for.
Yes.
And to be called a traitor was worth fighting for.
Amen.
Cowards were shot.
Yeah.
Deserters were hung. And criminals were sent to prison, not Washington.
Amen.
Sex was a dirty word. Homo was an unheard of word. And abortion was an illegal word.
Amen.
Love was clean. Courting was watched, and marriage was till death.
Amen.
Preachers preached because they had a message. Singers sung because they had a song.
Yeah.
Christians shouted because they had victory, and sinners got converted.
Amen. Yes, sir, preachers.
Preachers preached from the Bible, singers sung from the heart, and sinners repented and got saved.
Amen. Amen.
A new birth meant a new life. Salvation meant a change. And join the church meant you would attend. Being a preacher meant you were called of God. Being a deacon meant you would serve the church. Being a Christian meant you would live for Jesus. And being a sinner meant somebody was praying for you.
Amen.
Laws were based on the Bible. Homes read the Bible. And churches taught the Bible. You could borrow money on your church letter. A man's word was his bond. And a woman's virtue was priceless. Preachers are more interested in new converts than in new clothes and cars. Churches wanted to reach every creature with the gospel more than new buildings and paving parking lots.
Amen.
Christians prayed and wept over lost in their community. God was worshipped, Christ was exalted, and the Holy Ghost was followed. The Bible was believed, not corrected.
Amen.
Sinners got saved, converts were converted, and the gospel was preached, not shared. Those were the days when we could go witnessing with tears, prayed a lot and talked little on the phone, spent time with the Bible, not with the TV. We would weep about lost souls and enjoy going to church. We had a testimony and a song service like we had here tonight. We would really try to do something for God. We would say amen to the truth. We'd go to the altar and repent of sin. We would bring folk to church, take the pastor home for Sunday dinner, give tithes and offerings gladly. We would seek the will of God in everything and stand against sin anytime, anywhere.
Amen.
That's the old path.
Yes, sir.
Children, I'll tell you, we need to get back to those old paths.
Amen.
You know. Well, I love you and I have appreciated if we end tonight. I like to say that because I ain't no hurry to go anywhere except heaven. And I'm headed there with the hammer down. I'll get there in due time. But I'll tell you, I enjoy revival, children. Ain't nothing I like better than revival. And so I can say you're a pumpkin taking time. I ain't no hurry to go anywhere. Amen. As long as you can stand me, I can preach. I appreciate our friends. God bless you. Brother Harold, thank you, bud. You're so precious. I do appreciate you. You know what Brother Harold is going to do? He's given me that Hudson out there tonight. Remember what I told you to do. What did I tell you to do now? If we have to leave tonight, remember what I asked you to do? Pray with me. I need what? And my wife needs $1,000. And we need 1,000 Bibles. They've invited me, Brother Gervina Tika, over in the Philippines. He started 852 churches. He's got inroad to the government, every government official in the Philippines, and he's asked me to come over and hold a countrywide campaign there. And so we want to go. We're in debt right now in our building that we've put up, but I'll prefer this above the building. I'll eat the building, but I want to see somebody get out of hell. And so we want to go. It'll be the week before Christmas and Christmas week. Somebody asked me, said, "Don't you want to be with your family?" I will be. I will be with my family. I'll be there. And so please pray for that. Will you do that? That God would raise up her needed support to go there for God's glory. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 14. Genesis chapter number 14 tonight. I'll not be long preaching now. I'd like for Brother Jack to maybe come back and sing about 8 or 10 more.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jack. I appreciate you volunteering for that, buddy. And I'd like to volunteer. Let's pray for Sister Brenda, too. Children, please. If you can't remember it, write it down. Sister Brenda. She's a precious lady. I've been there at Brother Jack's house. She's a precious lady. 15 years. Now, see, some of you don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. But, buddy, I'll tell you, we're to pray one for another. Help carry one another's burden. And Brother Jack's been under a burden with his wife ever since I've known him. And for 15 years, the lady's been sick. And I'm talking about sick, children. And And so let's really pray for Brenda that God's will be accomplished, and somehow, some way, if it so please our Heavenly Father, that He'd go there and touch in that situation,
amen,
there in that home. Amen. For God's glory. All right, I want you to look, if you would, please. Let's begin reading in verse number 14 of chapter number 14. And when Abram heard that his... That's all right. Stand up, everybody. I'll tell you, half a dozen stood up. Just stand right up. Now, the reason, children, that I don't usually do that, I had a fellow one night, and I'm not being ugly or facetious or anything when I say this, but I had a fellow one night. I saw a guy do it. You know, when you first get called to preach, you know, you mimic, especially good preachers, and you'll mimic them after a while. And this one got up, and I liked him, and he said, "Everybody rise." And I said, "Boy, I'll do that every time. I'll tell you, every time I get to the pulpit, now I'll have them stand up while I read." And I had a fellow come to me one night, and I don't know whether he's being smart or not. I hope he wouldn't, but he said, "Brother Matthew Gillies, I want to ask you something." Said, "Do you stand up at your house while you read the Bible?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, I don't know why you have other people stand up in church." So I don't know whether he's facetious or not. Maybe he was, but that's all right. They did that name of the day. They stood up and read the Bible. Amen. So we'll read. Verse number 14, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Horah, and which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after the return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him in the valley of Shaven, which is in the king's dale. Now, if you would skip down, if you would please, in verse chapter 15, verse number 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible, inerrant, God-breathed word. You may be seated. Children, I want you to think with me just a little while tonight. I will take my text, if you please, out of chapter number 15, verse number 1, the last verse that I read you. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." I want to preach a message just a little while tonight, the Lord helping me. I want to preach a message on when the battle is over. When the battle is over, I'll tell you, this life is made up of one continuous battle. I'm talking about the Christian life. Anybody that's been saved any time at all realizes that we go out of one into another, into another, and into another, and it'll be that way until we're changed one day to be just like our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a continuous battle. I'll tell you, we'll have one battle after another battle. It'll be a battle over, it'll be a physical battle. It'll be a spiritual battle. It'll be a financial battle. It'll be a jealous battle. Hey, there'll always be a battle in this life. Now, you mark her down tonight now and mark it in a fly leaf of your Bible that there'll always be a battle. Now, you're not going to get away from any battle. There'll always be a battle. I want to get that across to you tonight. There's going to be a battle in this life. I'll tell you, the stinking flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. I'll tell you, he said, "What I want to do, I can't do, and what I can't do, I do." Hey, he said, "I'm all mixed up in this thing." And I'll tell you, there's always going to be a battle. But here's the joy of it. Thank God when the battle is over. I'll tell you, if they last a while, and but I'm about to run from out of here now. But thank God, I'll tell you, they only last a little while, and you might go into one into another, but when the battle's over, and it'll reach the end one day, thank God. I'll tell you, we'll fight one day. Our children, in this battle, say some of you here tonight, I know personally that you're in a battle. I know you are. I know you're in a battle. I've been praying for you, and I know you're in a battle. But I want you to look at this tonight. When the battle's over, number one, put her down. Number one, when the battle's over, you need real peace. That what you've done has been for the will of God. Look what he says in verse number 1. He said, and after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir.
Fear not. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. But the Bible says in Psalm 119:165, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I cannot understand for the life of me how church members, when the word of God is preached, I'll tell you, they get offended at the word of God, and they'll go off somewhere and lick the wounds for a little while. But I'll tell you, beloved, listen, the word of God is just like it is. I'll take it, listen, God never slipped up on your dark side, thank God. He hit you right between the running lights. But he'll tell you just who you are, and how you are, and what you're going to do, like it, lump it, jump it, or bump it. My brother, that's what the Word of God says. Listen, when we've done, listen, we need to know that after we've done the will of God, we need peace in our heart. Brother, I'll tell you, the devil will try every way in the world. You remember the story of Balaam over in Numbers chapter number 22? You remember old Balaam? He said he went down to Barak. He said, I'll tell you. Said, I want to come. He said, go down. And he said, I want you to cross this people Israel. Yeah. Buddy, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll check in with God tonight and see what God says. I bet he checked in with God. God said, I don't want you to go anywhere. And then he said, he went back down to him, said, I ain't got a word from God. I said he wouldn't get it. Told me not to come down here. He said, well, you go back, you check in with him again. He said, go back and check again. He kept on bugging God until God finally said, oh, I'll tell you what I'll do, Balaam. He said, I'll let you go. But he said, the only thing you're going to say is what I put in your mouth.
Amen.
And on the way there, I laughed, honest before God. I laughed at this. God, listen, God, God's got a love good thing. I listen, as he started down through there, he was on his donkey.
Yeah, amen.
Now, I want you to know that that as he started down to go down to curse the people of Israel, I want you to have that old donkey down there.
Yeah.
And that donkey kept seeing these things in front of him.
Yeah.
And I could just about imagine about that third time, especially when he crushed his foot on that wall, and he got off, And that jackass looked up at him and got to talking.
Yeah.
Buddy, I'll tell you what. I can just about imagine when he looked up and he said, hey, master, I've served you all in here. How come you keep beating and kicking around on me? He said, can't you see, son? Listen, God done opened his eyes so he could see, beloved. I'll say you thank God of the perfect will of God for him was stay where he was. But he kept bugging God until God sent him through that mess, I'll tell you. Did you know that we're the same way sometimes? I'll tell you, we'll pray and get peace in our heart, and before you know it, we've moved out on the left corner somewhere out of the will of God, and God's going to bring us back somewhere or the other. Listen, when you've done the will of God, when the battle's over, you need real peace, children. You can find it in the Word of God. Well, not only you need real peace, but then you need a promise. If you've done the will of God, you need a promise from the Word of God. Now, somebody accused me one day of using the Bible like a Ouija board. May I say to you, I don't use the Bible like a Ouija board. I check in with God, and He talks to me through the Scripture.
Amen.
The only way that I've got to know what the will of God is for my personal life and my wife's life, I get it from the Word of God.
Amen.
And children, once I get from the Word of God, I don't give a rip what the devil says.
Amen.
I'll say, you thank God, I've got the whole Lord. I'll go forward every time, thank
Amen.
God, when I get the will of God from the Word of God.
Amen.
But you need a promise. Look what He said in verse 15, chapter 15 again, verse number 1. He says, fear not, Abram, I am.
Amen.
Oh, wait a minute, Brother Master. You, that's a complete sense.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but where's the promise? I am.
Yeah.
Thank God, I am, whatever you need. Hallelujah to God. He is God. He is the great I am. He is the one that you need. Thank God, He'll fulfill everything He said in the Word of God. My God, I want to run plumb out of here. Children, I'll tell you what, thank God, He is the great I am. He is the one that supplies today. He'll do it every time, amen. Thank God, I'll tell you, He never failed. I'll tell you, He's never failed to one of us, children. He'll do exceedingly abundantly above anything we have to think. We need a promise. He said, I am, children. If you'll get in the position where you need to get,
yeah.
I am whatever you need.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I want you to look, if you would, please, over in Romans chapter number 4.
Listen.
Look in Romans chapter number 4.
Amen.
While you get there, hold your place now over in Genesis, because we're going back there.
Amen.
But over in Romans chapter number 4, me and my little wife got in our Cadillac one day. I had a 75 Cadillac, and we got in that old big boat. And what we wanted to do, I had never seen the Pacific Ocean. I've always seen the Atlantic, but I've never seen the Pacific. And we had one meeting in Arkansas. I said, well, honey, we had $150, a tank full of gas, and we said, we're going to California. And we're going to hold meetings all the way out there to California, and I'm going to dip my toe in the Pacific Ocean, and I'm going to come back. Well, buddy, we took off. I filled that old Cadillac up, $150 in my pocket, and I'll tell you, we got everything else to go. You know, we got the tube steak. You know, that's hot dog. And we got the Baptist ham. That's the bologna. And I'll tell you, and we got a jug of peanut butter. Everybody got peanut butter. Everybody eats peanut butter. I'll tell you, we got all this stuff together, threw it in that old big Cadillac, and off we went to California. Buddy, we eat peanut butter. I eat hot dog. I eat Baptist ham. I'll tell you, I got so stinking sick of all that junk. I'll tell you, sleeping in the back end of that Cadillac and taking a bath in service station as we go across to California. I'll tell you, I got so tired. We got out there, and I dipped my toe in the Pacific, and we started back. We got to about Phoenix, Arizona, and we were coming across the desert there, and me and my little wife done been whooped, and I'll tell you, been about half beat to death. And I reached over and I turned on the radio, and there was a black preacher on there. And here's what he read. Verse number 19, and be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Watch this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now black fellow, he backed up one time, and he said it again. He said, and he staggered not at the promise. And he backed up again. He said, and he staggered not at the promise. About that time, me and my little woman's eyes met one another. And I said, thank God. I said, that's it. I said, I ain't going to live like a pauper anymore. Oh, thank God. Listen, I'm not going to stagger at the promise. God done promise and supply every need within my life. I'm going to believe God. Listen, we got on that sand out there in Phoenix and done a little dance. Amen. Thank God. I said, when we get to Albuquerque, New Mexico, I looked at her and I said, honey, I said, first of all, I said, I want the biggest steak that there is in New Mexico. I said, I'm tired eating that bologna and eating that peanut butter and eating that Baptist ham. I'm tired of it. I said, I want the biggest steak that it could be bought. And I said, and then number two, I said, I'd like to have a little money. Buddy, I'm broke. I need some money in my team. I need a little bit of money. I said, I'd like for God to give us some money. And then I said, and after we get through with all of that, I said, I'd like just the biggest bed if there ever was. Honey, and crawl into that big old bed and sleep like a baby tonight. Buddy, we pulled into Albuquerque, New Mexico, so help me God. And when we pulled in Albuquerque, here come a big preacher that I had known years before, and he was right there on the street. And when I say big, I'm talking about big. I'm talking about 250, 300 pounds of it. And Abel woke up my brother Massengill. And we got going. He said, son, said you look like you're hungry. My God, I starved to death. I'll tell you what, I ain't said a thing to him. He said you look like you're hungry. That brother, he took us down up to that big steakhouse in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I got me, listen, I dove into that big piece of meat. Honey, about that big around, about that thick. Hey, listen, I wish I never got it all eaten. Amen. I'll tell you, thank God, I burped about a half a dozen times. Then I walked out of that place. And I started across to get in my Cadillac. And just as I started across to get in my Cadillac, he said, hey, Brother Massengill. He said, you broke too, ain't you? I said, you got it, come on. He reached back there and had one of those long ones, you know. Reached back there and whipped that thing open. And, buddy, he pulled out $150 and stuck it in my pocket.
Yes,
I said, thank God. I said, that's two of them. I said, I ain't got but one more to go. And, buddy, I got handle, and I can't let go now. And just as I did, hey, Brother Massengill. He said, do you have a place to stay tonight? I'll tell you, he took us to the biggest motel, thank God, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we had us a time, amen. He's bigger, Lord, it's a promise, amen.
Amen.
Sure, if we'll get back to living my faith, I'll tell you, thank God, he staggered not. It's a promise. He didn't have it, but he staggered not. It's a promise. He believed God for it.
Amen. Amen.
Then the rest of it didn't hit me till I read the rest of it. Look what else he says, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, here's where I had me another running spell. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us.
Amen.
Children, I'll tell you, we serve a God tonight. You listen to me, we serve a God tonight. That's still able in 1997. Oh, thank God to perform all faith. Listen, I don't believe in faith healers, but I believe in faith healing. Buddy, I'll tell you what, I don't believe it. Name it and claim it, crowd. Why, listen, I got a big word for them. It's a Hebrew, and it's English, and it's a French, and it's German. That's what I got by that bunch of big bass, amen. Oh, thank God, I'll tell you what, if I can name it and claim it, why don't they take this poverty crowd out of poverty out here? If those faith healers, if they can do what they say, why don't they enter the hospital?
Amen.
We believe the promises of the Word of God. And God does it. We, after the battle's over, we need peace. We need a promise. And then number three, we need real protection. After the battle's over, the devil then begins to start attacking you again, saying you did wrong. You did this in the flesh. You did that in the flesh. Turn with me if you would. Turn with me, if you will. Well, let's look at verse chapter 15, verse number 1. Fear not. There is your peace. I am. There's your promise. Thy shield. There's your protection. There's your protection. Turn with me to Psalm 91. My God, if I leave out of here, children, you just bear with me. I'll be back in a little while. Psalm 91. I want you to look at it. Psalm 91 tonight. He that dwelleth. Are you there yet? I still hear the wings flopping on that angel wing flopping. Just keep flopping them. Look at verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from that snare and of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. I heard about this lady out in California. She said that she had devotion that morning out of Psalm 91, and she said this character come and snatched her purse. I mean, drug it from off her shoulder, and said she looked around at him and started screaming, hovered her hand up and said, "Hey, said I'm covered with feathers. I'm covered with feathers. I'm covered with feathers." And said that guy threw that pocketbook at her and run, amen. Thank God, I want you to know He's our shield, amen. We're covered with the feathers of God. Hallelujah to God. We don't need what God, how much this world got. We got everything God's got. But it is many a time that Nancy and I ministered there in Brazil. They asked me one day, they said, Brother Massengill, see, I would go into these cities and I'd say, hey, you don't have to listen to that priest no more. Buddy, I'll tell you, he can't pray you out of purgatory. I'll tell you, listen, I'd go in and I'd say you can be set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. I remember going to this city and they said, hey, said you need your bodyguards. When they said you need your bodyguards, I said, yeah, shake hands with them. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about him. Oh, they fear him. And thank God, delivereth him. Oh, brother, I'll tell you what, we got the greatest protection in the whole world ever. I'll tell you, listen, you're not in good hands with all saved. Oh, but thank God, they're all sufficient. We need peace. He said, fear not. We need a promise. He said, I am. We need protection. He said, I'm your shield. And then I want you to look at the fourth thing. We need some provisions. Look what he says. I am thy great, exceeding great reward. Nancy and I, here about, how long has it been, honey? 4 months now. See, I was getting ready to say 4 weeks. Man, when you're over 50, I guarantee you, everything's the other day. It was 25 years ago, it was the other day. 4 months ago, we were down in South Carolina, Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I was in a meeting down there. Children, what I'm getting ready to tell you, I've never had it done in my life, never. 28 years I've been in the ministry, never, 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 never. First for me, first. And this fellow came over to the meeting one night, driving his new BMW. He said, I got some horses over at the house. Well, I thought he was going to take me to see his horses. You know, I like horses. I thought he was going to take me to see his horses, so he got us in the car, me and Nancy in the car, and he started driving on Saturday morning. And he was going away from the house, and I said, I don't understand this. I said, Brother Herbert, I said, what in the world are you doing, buddy? You know, you live in the opposite way. He said, looked at me, and he said, I'm just waiting on Jesus.
Amen.
And so we drove up, and we drove behind this Jewish store, and we get out, and we walk in, and I said, Brother Herbert, I said, this ain't your place. I said, your place is back over yonder on the back side of this place. I said, that's where you live. He said, I'm just waiting on Jesus. He walked in there and he got this Jewish fella and he said, I want you to fit Brother Massengill up. He gave me a suit. Fit right here tonight. He gave me a tie. Children, I ain't ever had on a $40 tie in my life. $40 tie. Feel that thing, Brother Jack. $40 tie. A new belt. New shoes.
Amen.
Florsham shoes. A new t-shirt. Hey, I honest before God, children, I didn't know t-shirts made a difference. Buddy, he bought me a t-shirt, shorts, socks. Handkerchief.
Bless.
Thing to go on my tie.
Amen.
A top coat. $1,700 he spent $1,700 in that store.
Bless.
I ain't never had nobody do me that way. And then he got us in the car. We said, now we're going home. Now we're going to go see the horses. So we started in the opposite direction. We got on the highway. Now I had to preach that night. And inside me, I was hurrying. Hurry. Herbert, and let's get, whatever you're gonna get done. I gotta get back cause I gotta preach tonight. And so he gets on this highway and the speed limit is 70 and he's going 50. As I looked over at him, I'm going 70, you know, in my heart. I'm going 70. I'll say, Herbert, I said, what are you doing, buddy? He said, I'm just waiting on Jesus.
Amen.
So we finally get over that highway and we look on ahead down there 2 miles and there's a bad wreck. Well, what does he do? Instead of getting in this line to wait, he gets in this other line and starts around him. I said, Brother Herbert, I said, what are you doing, buddy? He said, I'm just waiting on Jesus.
Amen.
We get down there to the bad wreck, and just as soon as we pull up to the wreck, somebody in a Lincoln gives him the thumbs up, and he wheels right in there. Gets in front of him and goes on about her bit. I said, Herbert, I said, how'd you do that, buddy? He said, I'm just waiting on Jesus.
Amen.
So this is on Saturday, and I got to go back and preach that night, and I'm still running 70, and he's running 40. And we go up to go into the shopping. Now, you have shopping malls on Saturday. We go in this shopping mall, and I said, Herbert, you ain't going to find no place to park. I got to preach tonight. He said, I'm just waiting on Jesus.
Amen.
So help me God, he pulls up. And just he pulls up to in front of that store there in the shopping center, somebody backs out and he whoops right in.
Amen.
I said, Herbert, I said, how'd you do that? He said, I'm just waiting on Jesus.
Amen.
We walk in the store and we get in the store and everybody's busy. People running here and running out like chicken, their head cut off. And so help me God, if I tell the truth, honey, so help me God, we walked in there and he stood right in the middle of the store and three women came about to rip his arm off. Can I help you? Can I help you? Everybody else started out trying to get help.
Amen.
I said, Herbert, I've had you do that. He said, I'm just waiting on
Amen.
You.
Amen.
My wife goes over and we pass by the smell good counter and she picks up Oscar. Who is it, honey? One of them fellas. I knew it was one of them. You ladies know about Oscar, don't you? Everybody know about. Well, she picked up his Oscar and he said wrap that up. And my wife said, and then she started crying. $58 for a little bottle about that big. Ah, Lord. He gave it to her. Went on over to the dress department.
Amen.
Picked her out a pretty dress.
Amen.
Then got her another dress.
Amen.
Then bought her a pair of shoes.
Amen.
Fitted her all out. Now here he is spending more money.
Amen.
I said, Herbert, both of us crying now. I said, Herbert, I said, wait, what are you doing, buddy? He said, just waiting on Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Children, and I went. Now listen, I'm trying to help you tonight. I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't shake it. I just couldn't do it. I ain't never been treated that. Never in 28 years I've been in ministry. Never. Ain't nobody ever took and spent no $1,700, $1,800 on me and my wife, $2,000 on me and my wife for clothes. Especially $40.
Amen.
And I got to meditating on that thing. Wait. He said, I'm just waiting on Jesus.
Amen.
So I got over in Psalm 27 and verse number 14. And he said, well, everybody's turning there. Psalm 27, verse number 14. That's the first one he's hitting. Look at it. Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait. I say upon the Lord.
Amen.
So I go home and I said, with this thing of wait and abide, they got to be synonymous.
Yep.
So I said, don't wait, I'm going to know this. I'll go home and I'll get my Greek lexicon down. And I'll go into this thing and see it. But first of all, I went to Webster. Because old brother Webster, he uses it, does pretty good. And I got this down. Here's what wait means. To stay in expectation.
Amen. Amen.
My God, somebody ought to run plumb out of here. I'm so built up now, I can't stand it. To wait in expectation. I'm talking about just like one of those jars that my mama used to seal.
Yeah.
And she'd put that thing down in the basement. And when it got that hot in there got cooled off. I'd hear something in the basement going.
Yeah.
And what it was that those jars were a-filling. Well, see, that the wait in expectation is the same way. Except just the opposite. I mean, we're ready to explode. I mean, all God's got to do is just touch it and we'll fly all to pieces with it. Now watch it. Now watch what he says. To wait, to stay in expectation. Lie in ambush. Bless God, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. I mean, he said to wait and hide in ambush.
Amen.
Watch it, that ain't all of it yet. I'll try to get through with it. Remain quiet. Follow someone. Attend to. Await, postpone, delay, put off, to hinder for a while. You see, most of us don't have that. Buddy, when we make up our mind, come hell or high water, buddy, we are going. Come on. Come on, but it was the longest time for my little darling sitting here tonight to ever get a hold of that thing. It was the hardest, buddy. She didn't want her plans thwarted for nobody. I'd punch out their lights. I'm a-going.
Bless
you. So I got over in the book, and I got to John. Turn there with me to John. Now, John chapter number 15. You're going to have a spell, and all of you are going to go with me tonight, because we're going out of here. John chapter number 15. And I jumped back over into Dr. Webster, and here's what he said about abide. Abide means to await, endure, withstand, tolerate, to dwell, reside, continue, stand firm, live in, submit to, tarry.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
Now watch this now. Look what he says in John 15. Abide in me, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit. It says, except it abide in the vine, no one you except you abide in me. I am the vine, your branch, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If you abide in him, you'll bring forth fruit.
Amen.
If you abide in him, you'll bring forth much fruit.
Yeah.
For without me, you can do nothing. If any man abide not in me, he's cast forth a branch and withered, and men gather and cast him in the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. Here's my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall be my disciples. Well, then I started to quit, but I couldn't quit. I got to look at these Greek words, and I got them down. Look what it says now. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue. Same words abide. Same Greek words abide. Continue in my word. Watch this. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Same word. Hey, that ain't all of it. I thought it was all of it. I got real excited about it. Look at verse number 11. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy might remain in you. Same words abide. Same words abide. And that your joy may be full. Look down in verse number 16. You're not chosen me, but I've chosen your name. You should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That's the same word as abide. Hey, children, listen. What he wants us to do tonight? It's to learn the simple thing of wait.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on. You'll not have to take Tylenol anymore.
Yeah. Amen.
You'll get rid of your Nervine.
Yeah.
You won't have to smoke a cigarette. You won't even have to take a dip.
Amen.
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 Ain't we having a good time tonight? Yeah. I'll tell you, thank God, we need to learn this, and children, the hardest lesson for a child of God is to learn, is to wait.
Right.
Wait.
Amen.
Wait. And abide. Abide in God's word. Brother, he said it'd come to pass.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And so help me God since that day. Am I telling the truth, honey? Me and my little wife. Now, come on now, I'll be tried again on the way home tonight. So help me God, every time I preach, I get tried.
Yep.
Right.
But since the day that we heard, now, she's got to remind me once in a while, Brother Dennis, now, I ain't sitting up here fatting off anywhere. She's got to remind me, then I got to turn around and remind her. What's that dirty dog? Honey, we're just waiting on Jesus.
Amen.
Look at that buzzard pull out. Honey, we're just waiting on Jesus.
Amen.
Hey, you'd be surprised how that'll calm you.
Yeah.
You get so furious, and all the rest, why? He says, just wait.
Yes, sir.
Wait on the Lord. He'll give you strength. He'll give you the strength in due time. Then just abide in him. He's already got your number. He knows what you need.
Right.
He knows how to handle it, every situation. Hey, listen. Listen to this. This will thrill you. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Does that help you? What you're going through, somebody else has already went through. That's what that verse says.
Amen.
And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yeah.
Come on, children.
Amen.
All we need to do is abide in him. He said that joy would be full.
Amen.
You know that joy? That's what our pastor has been talking about always. The joy that we're feeling right here in this place tonight.
Yes,
you say, but when I get out of here, it won't feel it. Yes, it will if you'll abide.
Amen.
If you'll abide.
Yes,
if you'll abide and wait in him, that same joy you got in here, that same excitement you got in your heart right now, thank God when you walk out that door and get in that car, you'll still have that same excitement. Thank God you shall all the When the battle's over, we need some things in our life.
Yes, sir.
And God knows exactly how to give them.
Yeah.
Children, if we learn this simple thing of just wait, abide in Him. Good things will happen. I'm not Lawrence Welk, but good things will happen to you if you'll just learn to wait and abide.
Amen.
Been a lifelong 28 years, children. In that Saturday, Brother Paul, 4 months ago, Brother Jack, God had to take me back to kindergarten. 28 years old in Christ, and God had to take me back to kindergarten. Studied the Greek and Hebrew and all that, but He had to take me back to kindergarten.
Amen, preacher.
Because I was going 90 inside when He said I need to go 40. And He said, just wait and abide. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. It'll cause that inside just to calm.
Amen.
I mean, just like it is now. Buddy, I feel peace in this place. I'll tell you what the truth. I mean, it passes all understanding. I'll tell you, listen, about to float out of here. Bless God, listen, when you get this kind of liberty, honey, all you do is just sit back and enjoy. Bask in the sunshine. Thank God when the sun gets around. Bask in Him for a while. Thank God. That's what He wants out of us as children of God. Come on, Brother Jack.
Amen.
Come on, honey.
Amen.
Lord, all these precious people here, everybody right with God, I'll tell you, buddy, I'm ready to run out of here. Amen, Brother Harold.
Amen.